Part 4. You will hear a radio interview with a reporter who writes for the travel section of several newspapers. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer A, B or C. You now have 1 minute to look at Part 4.
It is now becoming more and more common for families who want to rent a decent holiday property to achieve their aim by sharing the rent with another family. Here to talk to us about this kind of arrangement is Sandra Dawson. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you.
In a recent article you wrote for a national newspaper, I got the distinct impression that going on holiday with another family is most likely to turn out to be a disaster. Was my interpretation correct?
It seems you focused on all the negative aspects of a dual family holiday. There were also some advantages that I mentioned, but there were, I admit, fewer of them. I know I started with an unpleasant experience, so if first impressions count most, you were quite right to think that.
Can you tell us more about this unpleasant experience?
Well, we arrived late at night. I had some things to do at the office before I could leave, so we travelled separately from the other family. As it was late, the other family were fast asleep, and we were tired and hungry. When I opened the fridge, I saw a cake, which I thought was one of those nice little touches provided by the people who rent out the house to welcome visitors. So we gratefully helped ourselves to most of it before going to bed. The following morning, I was confronted by the other family, who told me that it had been a surprise for their youngest child, who was 6 on that day. I know it sounds like an amusing anecdote, but I can tell you there was nothing funny about it.
I bet there wasn't, especially with you having to share the house for the rest of the holiday. Why then do so many people prefer to holiday with another family if it can cause so many problems?
There are several reasons. There's shared cooking, entertainment for the children, conversation and company for the grown-ups, and the chance to rent a bigger, nicer house than one they'd be able to afford on their own.
I don't think the last reason sounds that logical.
Neither do I, and yet that's the one I'm most frequently given when I ask why they choose to go on holiday with another family.
So which of the reasons is best? I'd have thought that children would come first on this type of holiday.
That's true to some extent. It really depends on the age of the children in question. Arguments between both sets of parents are most frequent when the children are nursery school age. Those parents who are anxious or insecure have strong beliefs about such things as how many ice creams their children can have before lunch. So when you let yours have as many as they want, you get looks of disapproval and perhaps a tut-tut because you are so easygoing and relaxed. When this happens, it's difficult not to respond to criticism, and arguments can start. If you want to avoid such situations, the rule is not to assume that what you think is right for your children is right for theirs.
So you should never interfere with what someone else's child is doing?
Not unless it's blatantly dangerous, and you shouldn't expect your friend's nanny to look after your young children.
What about older children?
There are fewer problems, especially when they can entertain themselves. And it's even better when the holiday is activity-based. Parents and children can go off together, spend the day water skiing, rafting or whatever, and sit around recovering in the evening while talking about the following day's activities. These holidays work so well because everyone has the same goal. Nobody worries about anything other than having a good time, so all the different sets of rules are put on hold until you return home.
Can problems arise among the parents without the children being involved?
Yes, especially when parents don't have shared expectations. A friend of mine, who was due to go on holiday to Italy, decided to rent a bigger luxury villa than normal, and she asked us to come along. Right from the start, we felt obliged to them, as it was much more expensive than anything we could afford. They are really nice people, but the pressure of keeping up with them was terrible. The biggest problem was that we'd agreed to take turns to do the cooking. When it was their turn, they'd drive off to buy the best ingredients and leave their children with the nanny. At dinner time, the table would be laid out with flowers and they'd be dressed immaculately. When it was our turn, we'd have to mind our children as well. It felt as if we were having a dinner party every single day, so keeping it up for the whole holiday was exhausting.
So you needed another holiday to get over that one. I'm sorry, but I still haven't understood why you should even consider going on holiday with another family.
I think my friend Helen's attitude answers that. She would advise anyone not to go on holiday with another family, and yet she does it every year. Every September after her August holiday, she says she'll never do it again. But she's just paid for this year's holiday with the same family. When I asked Helen why last week, her answer was simple. The children. They always have a fantastic time.
Thank you, Sandra. Now let's take a musical break with Scorpions and Holiday.
Now you'll hear part four again.
It is now becoming more and more common for families who want to rent a decent holiday property to achieve their aim by sharing the rent with another family. Here to talk to us about this kind of arrangement is Sandra Dawson. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you.
In a recent article you wrote for a national newspaper, I got the distinct impression that going on holiday with another family is most likely to turn out to be a disaster. Was my interpretation correct?
It seems you focused on all the negative aspects of a dual family holiday. There were also some advantages that I mentioned, but there were, I admit, fewer of them. I know I started with an unpleasant experience, so if first impressions count most, you were quite right to think that.
Can you tell us more about this unpleasant experience?
Well, we arrived late at night. I had some things to do at the office before I could leave, so we travelled separately from the other family. As it was late, the other family were fast asleep, and we were tired and hungry. When I opened the fridge, I saw a cake, which I thought was one of those nice little touches provided by the people who rent out the house to welcome visitors. So we gratefully helped ourselves to most of it before going to bed. The following morning, I was confronted by the other family, who told me that it had been a surprise for their youngest child, who was 6 on that day. I know it sounds like an amusing anecdote, but I can tell you there was nothing funny about it.
I bet there wasn't, especially with you having to share the house for the rest of the holiday. Why then do so many people prefer to holiday with another family if it can cause so many problems?
There are several reasons. There's shared cooking, entertainment for the children, conversation and company for the grown-ups, and the chance to rent a bigger, nicer house than one they'd be able to afford on their own.
I don't think the last reason sounds that logical.
Neither do I, and yet that's the one I'm most frequently given when I ask why they choose to go on holiday with another family.
So which of the reasons is best? I'd have thought that children would come first on this type of holiday.
That's true to some extent. It really depends on the age of the children in question. Arguments between both sets of parents are most frequent when the children are nursery school age. Those parents who are anxious or insecure have strong beliefs about such things as how many ice creams their children can have before lunch. So when you let yours have as many as they want, you get looks of disapproval and perhaps a tut-tut because you are so easygoing and relaxed. When this happens, it's difficult not to respond to criticism, and arguments can start. If you want to avoid such situations, The rule is not to assume that what you think is right for your children is right for theirs.
So you should never interfere with what someone else's child is doing.
Not unless it's blatantly dangerous. And you shouldn't expect your friend's nanny to look after your young children.
What about older children?
There are fewer problems, especially when they can entertain themselves. And it's even better when the holiday is activity-based. Parents and children can go off together, spend the day water skiing, rafting or whatever, and sit around recovering in the evening while talking about the following day's activities. These holidays work so well because everyone has the same goal. Nobody worries about anything other than having a good time, so all the different sets of rules are put on hold until you return home.
Can problems arise among the parents without the children being involved?
Yes, especially when parents don't have shared expectations. A friend of mine, who was due to go on holiday to Italy, decided to rent a bigger luxury villa than normal, and she asked us to come along. Right from the start, we felt obliged to them, as it was much more expensive than anything we could afford. They are really nice people, but the pressure of keeping up with them was terrible. The biggest problem was that we'd agreed to take turns to do the cooking. When it was their turn, they'd drive off to buy the best ingredients and leave their children with the nanny. At dinner time, the table would be laid out with flowers and they'd be dressed immaculately. When it was our turn, we'd have to mind our children as well. It felt as if we were having a dinner party every single day, so keeping it up for the whole holiday was exhausting.
So you needed another holiday to get over that one. I'm sorry, but I still haven't understood why you should even consider going on holiday with another family.
I think my friend Helen's attitude answers that. She would advise anyone not to go on holiday with another family, and yet she does it every year. Every September after her August holiday, she says she'll never do it again. But she's just paid for this year's holiday with the same family. When I asked Helen why last week, her answer was simple. The children. They always have a fantastic time.
Thank you, Sandra. Now let's take a musical break with Scorpions and Holiday.
That is the end of part four. There'll now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. I'll remind you when there is 1 minute left so that you're sure to finish in time. You have one more minute left. That is the end of the listening test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and answer sheets.